Welcome back to, actually, not welcome back, welcome just in general.
Welcome to a new beginning.
Yeah, because it's been like, I don't even want to sit and count the days.
Two months.
Something like that.
It's been a while.
It's been a little bit, but you know what? It's because we've been cooking, all right? Let us cook. We've been cooking over here. Because, you know, if you haven't, go back and kind of refresh yourself on the podcast. We went through Matthew, and then we just finished up going through Proverbs. And so we were like, what next? And to be honest, we didn't know.
We did not know. We were stumped.
Yeah, so we just kind of, we thought, let's do something different. You know, we've done like a whole book study twice, I guess. Yeah, two whole book studies. We thought, let's add some, I don't know, a different slice of pie. New pie? I don't know. Something like that. So, there you go. A whole new pie. But, yeah. For the next... Let me look back at my notes. For at least the next 21 weeks, we are booked.
Booked. Better get your popcorn.
Booked.
And you better know what's coming on your radio every Wednesday.
Booked. Just booked. Because, well, I mean, there'll be some breaks, you know. But we did the math. This is going to last us to the end of the year. So, because of vacation and stuff. So, but yeah. So, excuse me. Hope y'all enjoy it. We're going to start a word studies whole playlist season, whatever you want to call it. Where, like I said, we got 21 words of just, I don't know. I tried to, like, when I was sitting down studying this, I wanted to, like, create a purpose or something to kind of keep my mind focused on what the, like, end goal was. And I guess I haven't shared this purpose with you, Dylan, but you're good to change it or anything else. But I guess the purpose on my end of wanting to do a word study, and it's not just one. Like I said, there's 21, like, different words, so we're not just stuck on one. but, like, the Bible was not written in English. It's in Hebrew and Greek, a little bit of Aramaic, you know, and language is, you know, speaking from experience, going down, me and Dylan going down to Mexico and trying to speak Spanish or attempt to or have to communicate through a translator. Language is just messy, you know. I know just specifically of times, like, if you're up preaching, or not my case as much, but like for Dylan, who's up preaching in front of the congregation at whatever place we're at in Mexico, sometimes he'll say something and like the translator would be like, you can't do that.
What?
Yeah, he's like, that doesn't translate, kind of deal. And so, you know, language is just messy, and it can sometimes maybe cause words to, from, you know, the original Old Testament, New Testament, the ancient scriptures, it can kind of cause words to be misinterpreted maybe, or less weighty, or something like that. You fill in the blank. So I guess just the purpose of just why I'm kind of centered and my mind's driven to on this whole study is to relearn some of these biblical words by looking back, if needed to be, on the original languages, maybe uncovering some meanings that might be lost in translation. And, you know, I think this is a common problem because oftentimes we read the Bible, which is an ancient scripture, you know, it was written long time ago, and we sometimes try to apply like modern words to it, and sometimes it just doesn't mean the same. It doesn't mean that we're just like going down a rabbit hole and just like completely going away from the truthfulness of the Bible by any means, but it just means that maybe through this series we can offer some different insight, maybe some different things that we've discovered just as studying in particular these words, and hopefully it, you know, it can affect what you thought the word might have meant, and maybe inspire you to change or inspire you to keep looking. Because like, we just have 21 words here, and when we were creating this list, we were like, oh my goodness, we didn't even scratch the surface of like the Beatitudes, or not the Beatitudes, excuse me, well, them too, but excuse me, the fruits of the Spirit, you know, all, there's 9 words there, and we're like, man, I think we hit 2 of them in this whole thing. So like, maybe there'll be a part 2 one day, but also it's motivation, you know, hopefully we inspire you, to keep digging on, maybe some particular words you're interested in, or like the section of scripture, you might be, studying at that time. So, but yeah, anything to start us off there, Dilly?
Well, first of all, I'm upset. Because I think somebody has messed with my chair in the time that we have not been in the studio. Because you know what? I feel like I'm sitting on the ground.
You seem lower.
I feel lower.
It seems like the microphone's like at your eyes.
I know.
And it's usually like more like a closer to the chin.
I know. So I just was going to express that. Somebody has come into our studio and lowered the big man's chair.
They've got you. You've been got.
Happy. I've been bamboozled, so I'm not happy about that.
You've but been no, got.
You know, you talk about what Jackson said as far as what is the importance of a word study? Why would we, you know, study that? And you think of all the words, number one, that Jackson said gets lost in translation as you go across different languages. But even think about words that we as modern day people have distorted over time.
Yeah.
That we think they mean one thing, but you're going to find out today if we get to the word listen, that we don't fully grasp what the original meaning of that word. The word, and you read the Bible and you read these things and you're like, oh, well, that means this. And if you actually look back into it and you go back to the Hebrew and the Greek and all these things, we've got it all wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and I say all the time, you know, as Christians, you know, and it's not my place, you know, for me to tell you where you're going to spend your eternity. But we'll just talk about, as Christians, I feel like we're going to make it to heaven. I feel like God's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, but you missed the point. And I've really kind of based my life on that. I would say the last year, about that phrase of, okay, well, if I'm missing the point, because I fully believe I'm probably missing the point.
Yeah.
Well, then what is it? And that's something that we think this will be really good to fully understand, okay, what are we supposed to be doing? What do these words mean? How do they correlate with my life? Not the modern day definition, but what was going on surrounding these words and in the context of these words in the scripture, and go back to the Hebrew and Greek and say, what the heck does this mean?
Right.
You know, so that's what I'm excited about. So,
you want to get into it?
I think we got time.
Okay, well, let's get into it. So the first word, and we try to be tactical about this too, like trying to, you know, pick which ones go after the other. But the first one we're going to do is the word listen. In Hebrew, it translates to shema, which shema translates to hear or listen. And there's kind of other nuances that we might dive into. But Dylan, you just stop me or jump in whenever you want. You know, this word, you probably might have recognized it because it kind of comes from a famous Jewish prayer called the Shema. I think I might be mistaken. I want to say it's one of the more quoted verses in like the entire Bible. And it goes a little something like this. You can find it in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. And so, Dylan, would you like to read that?
I can, yeah. I have it pulled up right here. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength."
Yeah. So this was a pretty important prayer. Just kind of, you know, kind of wrangle you in. This prayer is coming from Moses, and he's calling this new generation of Israelites to be more faithful than their parents. And, you know, we don't have time to go throughout the whole Pentateuch or Torah, or, you know, we don't have time for that. But anywho, he's calling them to be more faithful to the covenant they made on Mount Sinai. And so this prayer kind of became a staple in Judaism and was prayed every morning and every evening. And, the word listen in general. It's in many other places in the Bible. You can probably pick them out because it's very common. You know, in Proverbs chapter 20, it kind of 20 verse 12, it correlates listening with your ear. And you might be thinking, well, duh, like, of course you listen with your ear. So there's some very simple, connected words. You know, ears are obviously essential for listening, or to Shema. So, you know, they take the sound and, you know, brain translates it, puts it back out so we can talk to each other. You know, and so it's very common. However, there's also another kind of form of listening, and it's also meaning to pay attention, you know. And that's the funny thing. In English, I've already named three different words, or two words and one phrase, pay attention, of meaning one word in Hebrew. You know, and just a random example, you know, Deuteronomy 21, just like a couple other pages over, if you're reading in, you know, chapter 6. In verse 18, it says, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father..." Anyhow, we'll keep, that actually goes a lot longer than what I initially read. But the term Shema here goes beyond just hearing, you know, beyond just kind of one ear out the other. But it implies a lack of paying attention to your parents disciplining you. You know, so this word doesn't only mean hear, but also it doesn't only mean pay attention, but also to focus what you're hearing on. See, Shema also can render a response, meaning, you know, Dylan's my boss. If he tells me to go do something, then Shema is me hearing what he's saying, paying attention to the directions, and then going and doing what he's told me to do.
So, along with the definition of that, I looked up, you know, what does it mean in Hebrew? Well, Shema means to hear. Okay, so then I went further and said, okay, what's the Oxford definition of hear? And it is to perceive with the ears the sound made by someone or something. So the first word that starts that is to perceive something. Well, what does perceive mean? Perceive says to become aware or conscious of something, come to realize or understand. So if you really try to break down the Hebrew word in into different forms, and I know I'm going out there.
No, this is great.
Shema is to hear. Well, the definition of hear is to perceive, and the definition of perceive is to become aware or conscious of it.
So it's really not that different.
You can't to listen to something, like Jackson was saying. If he tells me something and it goes one ear and out the other, then I didn't listen to it.
Right.
If you fully want to go back to the Hebrew and really understand what Shema is all about, then you have to perceive it. You have to understand it. You have to become aware, become conscious of it. When Christ listens to our prayers, when he's hearing what we're saying and how this works, I don't understand. But we could all pray at one time and he would understand and perceive and be aware of exactly what I'm going through.
Right.
But if me and Jackson are praying at the same time, he would also perceive and become aware of what you're thinking. You know, so I can't fathom that.
Yeah.
But that's what, when you hear this, and again, this is from the famous phrase of Moses talking to the Israelites, but, or talking to the Jewish people, but that comes from Moses teaching them this and talking to them about this, but Christ also refers to it in Matthew. So obviously it was important for them to not only listen to it. I just imagine me being in the crowd, like having a rough day, and Moses is like telling me about this, and I'm just like, okay. And then you're not perceiving it. You're right. You're not truly processing it and saying, oh, okay, I understand that. So I just wanted to throw that in about the definition.
No, that's super interesting. Like, it's really not that bit much of a difference. You just really have to, you got to like dive a little deeper. You can't just stop at the first word and be like, oh, you know, no, that's very interesting. A way that kind of helped me grasp it was, you know, I like to go hunting. So during hunting season, you know, I'm out in the woods. Most of the time, I'm not just aimlessly listening. Like if I'm sitting in the tree stand, you know, but I'm intentionally listening. So, you know, if I hear a noise, you know, a twig crunching or something that sounds like a deer walking, I'm reacting to it. I maybe turn and like focus my seeing, you know, in a certain direction to see if I can see something moving. And all these words have different meanings in English, but it's one word in Hebrew, and that's Shema. And yes, if you want to get in the nitty-gritty, there are some other Hebrew words that might overlap just a little bit, like Keshav means notice, and Ashav means to do something, but that's nitty-gritty, and those occurrences are very, very minimal. So we're just going to stick with the whole Shema. So, however, there's a flip side of this, you know, kind of like what Dylan was saying with Jesus hearing our prayers. It's why, like, in Psalms, all of them begin about the same way. You know, it's a call for God to listen, because when Psalms was written, it was a very bad time, and they were either getting exiled or being persecuted in some way. So most of the time, it was like, God, listen, you know, listen to the cries. You know, just another one kind of picked out of the crowd. I'm not even going to get to it fast enough, but Psalms 27, you know, it's talking, the psalmist is saying, God, listen to my cries. And I mean, you're obviously not asking God to just, like what you were saying, listen to your prayers like a song and not really paying attention to it and just like, oh, they're praying to me. No, God, when you do that, you're wanting God to respond, and that's what he is. And when he does respond, that's also Shema, because he's responding to it. And so these are just, you know, these are just three aspects, and we're actually going to get into another one that's a part of Shema. And it's over in Exodus 19. In Exodus 19, you know, this is about Israel becoming a different nation, a different kind of nation that's sole purpose is to represent God's character to all the nations, and just kind of, and all of it really hinges upon them listening. So in Exodus, oh, I'm in Deuteronomy, sorry everyone, Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, sorry, I should have had some of this marked. It might have been a lot easier. It says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine." And then it keeps going. But notice how, at least I'm reading from the ESV, it does not say listen. But it's the same word. It's Shema. If you go back to the Hebrew, it's the same word, Shema. But it does. It says obey. And another kind of interesting little fact about this particular verse is that it's actually in Hebrew, to emphasize a word, you use it twice. So you like see it, like it stands out to you. You know, it's like when your mom tells you to do something and she's like, don't make me repeat myself or something like that. It's along those lines. So in Hebrew, you would read this if you Shema Shema, if you listen, listen, which means you really listen, right? And you know, this is also works in nouns, like the Song of Songs means the best song, or the Holy of Holies means like a really holy place, you know? You see, if you really Shema, then at least in this particular setting, the phrase right after it shows you what Shema means. So if you Shema, then you'll keep God's covenant. However, if you don't keep the terms of the covenant, then you didn't really listen. You didn't Shema. And, you know, and this line is so important that it's kind of the theme that gets carried out, at least through the rest of this, of the Pentateuch or the Torah, of this whole relationship hinges on listening or not listening. You know, and that kind of just brings us to our final portion of, there's four different ways that Shema is used. They're all different. You know, you can hear something, but it's like maybe background noise and you aren't really paying attention to it. That's Shema. But also, then there's actually paying attention to it. Like something catches your ear and you're really like interested, or, you know, I can think of like eavesdropping or something like that, where you're like, ooh, what are they saying kind of deal. You know, that's Shema. Then the third one is actually doing the portion when like someone tells you to do something. And the final one is obeying. You know, to kind of jump to the New Testament, in James chapter 1, verse 22 through 24, this is, I love the book of James. It's kind of, this is written almost like as a parable kind of deal. But, you know, now granted, those who are Bible geeks know James was written in Greek. So it's a different word, but, you know, I often have this question, at least to like translators when we go to Mexico, is like, what do you think in? Like, you talk to us in English, mm-hmm. Like, what do you think in?
What's and the voice in your head speak?
Yeah, like, are you thinking in Spanish? And then, like, man, that must be so hard. But you got to be thinking in, like, your original language. So here, It says in verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourselves." Oh, I was supposed to also read 20 through 20. Okay. "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourself." So here, you know, it's kind of compared to listening and seeing and doing, you know, and you can, so you can see the Hebrew word shema has many, many different meanings and a different range. And I think if you bring it all back to that famous verse we started with, and we focused on the Shema prayer and asked the question, what is it that they're to hear? What was Moses trying to get the God's chosen people from the beginning to hear? You know, because this isn't, that whole sentence isn't making a, you know, philosophical statement about being one God and all this, you know. It's not saying that. It's saying, you know, this is about Israel worshiping their faithfulness to God, who redeemed them from slavery, not any other gods or Canaanites or Babylonians or whoever was, you know, at the height of their power. But what does that mean? You know, so listen. It says, oh, here, but listen, the Lord is our God. And if we stop and think about that, because you can aimlessly, you know, say that and be like, because, you know, this was said as a group, and you said every morning and every evening before you went to bed, and, you know, you can just imagine yourself in like a big old community, and you're all saying it, and, you know, and that could be tiresome and probably repetitive, and you can be like, oh, well, yeah, of course, yeah, I know, I'm a God's chosen people, I'm Jewish, yep, I'm one of God's people, and that's fine. But somehow, listening to the fact that God alone is our God, he's supposed to have, you know, that's supposed to have a fundamental effect on our behavior. And if it doesn't, then I think we haven't listened. And it's clear, you know, I don't listen well because, you know, like I said, everyone's saying it, at least in this situation, that everyone's saying it at the same time, you know. So listening to this fact, because something that shapes our whole culture in this, you know, scenario and life together as God's people is the Shema prayer, saying these words aloud that God alone is our God. You know, that's supposed to have, you know, that's the purpose of Shema. It's supposed to affect us. You know, and so in the end, you know, listening to the Bible is about giving, is about giving respect to one speaking, whoever it may be. It's kind of how, why we chose listening to be first, is giving respect back to the Bible. We want to listen to the ancient scriptures, what it was saying, what it was meaning, what the people might have been going through. And however, we can't fully grasp it because we're not there, but giving respect to the one that's speaking and then hearing what they're saying and then doing it, responding in a real way. And real listening is going to take effort. It's going to take lots of time and patience. And more importantly, it takes action too to complete it. Kind of like James, where he was saying, don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers. That's all I got.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head.
Well, thank you.
So, we hope you've enjoyed our topic of listen today. Mm-hmm. Hope you listen to it. And be safe where you're going, and we'll talk to you next week.
Should we tell them the next one?
We should.
So, we're going to kind of get in a section of maybe, it's not bad words. Don't think that we're going to be up in here cussing, but like the next three words are sin, transgression, and iniquity. So, maybe bad themed words, but not bad words.
Right. Don't, we're excited about it.
Don't you be thinking we're in here cussing.
We're excited about it. So, yeah. We hope you are. So, tune in, listen to the end of season two if you haven't. And today marks the official start of season three.
Whoop, whoop.
So, have a good week. Hope you're safe. And we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Yep. We love you. Jesus loves you.
Bye.